Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. I hope all of you are having fantastic Wednesdays, wherever you may be across this great country or this great land. We are rolling on Voices of Sanity in an Insane World. Breaking news right as we started the show today. Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer announces that he will be stepping down, and Joe Biden will have the opportunity to replace him. He is of the three-vote liberal wing of the Supreme Court, 83 years old. And so that will be a story, presumably, although I have not seen the official announcement, but presumably he will step down at the end of the Supreme Court's term in the summer, and then we will have a Supreme Court battle in the summer of the 2022 midterms. To me, the biggest story, as we talked about in the first hour, you can go listen to us discuss all of this. Biggest story jumping out is just, this is a clear sign that the Democrats have limited confidence that they're going to control the Senate after the midterms. And that's significant because if they didn't control the Senate after the midterms, it would become much more difficult to get a Supreme Court justice through the Senate, which probably would become highly unlikely depending on how much of an advantage the Republicans had there. So Breyer stepping down, Biden has promised that he will appoint a black woman. That is where that story is. I just tweeted this out. If you want to go find her and thank her for coming on the show, I thought she did an absolutely fantastic job. We were just talking with a mother of five, her name, Carrie Lucas. And you can go follow her at Carrie Lucas on Twitter. You can find me at Clay Travis and see that I just retweeted her. But Buck, this is crazy town that Northern Virginia public schools are defying Governor Glenn Youngkin and his order that allows parents now 2 years, nearly 2 years into COVID restrictions, to decide whether or not their kids wear masks to school. To such an extent, Buck, that they are standing in front of the schoolhouse doors and banning children from being able to enter and attend school if they are not wearing masks. I mean, they think they're going to be on the right side of history. They are effectively, since we wanted to use historical analogies, they're George Wallacing the mask mandate issue. They are standing on the steps of the schoolhouse doors and sending kids home who are refusing to wear a mask.
The more the mandates fail, the more mandates they demand, Clay, which I've been worried about this for a while, that as it becomes clear, what they have taken the power to do hasn't had the intended result, obviously, as we're now sitting here talking about, oh, Israel, fourth booster shot coming for people in Israel, perhaps. I wonder how that's going to work out when we get to our fourth shot here. Probably going to be very similar, just the way that everything else has been very similar to the data in Israel and the UK. With regard to where all this is heading. But you also see that for all their talk about rule of law and public health officials, the person who is the decider, you know, to borrow a Bush term, which I still think that's a great word, the decider in Virginia when it comes to mask policy is the governor. Now, when the dumb governor of New York or the dumb governor of California is saying, you know, put up plexiglass dividers and social distance and mask, people like you and me, well, not you because Tennessee, but,
thankfully,
you know, people like us who are living in those states had to go, all right, this is the state authority. This is the way it's going to be. We're going to have to fight against this. But, you know, this is the system. Now, when people have passed their judgment on that dumbass system in Virginia, you have people that are deciding, you have the whole apparatus of the public school, you know, teachers union, Democrat Party complex coming together to say, sorry, just no. That's not how this works. I understand that there are neurotic libs who think that triple masking is going to save them. And I guess they still mask. What I want to ask all these libs too is, so you still mask up after you've had Omicron? Do you really think that makes sense? But by the way, I think the answer has to be yes, because no one ever makes the argument on the left, well, I had Omicron, so like, can I at least calm down for a little while? No, it's about the symbolism. It's about the control, really. And this is what you're seeing. Clay, we were saying, what, maybe April, possibly March of 2020, this is primarily a tool for control and compliance. And everybody who has a mind that's even a little bit able to be persuaded is seeing it now.
And let's talk about the consequences. We just talked about standing in the schoolhouse doors in Northern Virginia. This is from Nate Silver, who runs a sort of a data and analytics website that focuses on politics to a certain extent, but also other data. And I just thought this was fascinating. Open Table. My wife books a lot of our dinner reservations on Open Table. Buck, I'm sure you've used this app before. I'm not claiming that it's a perfect approximation of restaurant availability.
I'm like a super user, by the way, of Open Table. Yes. Whatever the equivalent is, we do the guy on the airlines where they like send the car to pick you up to take you to your plane. I think they do that for like Diamond Platinum status or something. Yes. On Delta. I'm that for Open Table. I spend too much money on food.
So I thought this was interesting. Looking at reservations in restaurants on Open Table, January of 2022 compared with January of 2019. And Buck, listen to some of these numbers. Cambridge, Mass., Harvard, Open Table reservations down 75%. The woker the community, the more they are destroying the economy surrounding that community. San Francisco, restaurant reservations down 66% on Open Table. I'm curious if you have seen this. Manhattan down 64%. Have you noticed when you go out to restaurants that it's a noticeably Spartan environment inside of the restaurant compared to past years?
What you actually have noticed, or rather what I've seen in New York, Clay, is that it is harder than ever to get reservations in a lot of the restaurants. Because so many restaurants and neighborhood places have closed and everyone's just forgotten now. So you actually have a consolidation effect that has occurred. You also have more than ever, and people are going to laugh about this in other parts of the country. I know, laugh at us in New York. This is what we have to deal with. You now have to pay often for a reservation if you don't show. But even you have a 48-hour, almost like a hotel, you've got a 24 or 48-hour cancellation window. Sometimes it's $100 a person. So if you theoretically get COVID and you call a restaurant and say, hey, I can't come tonight, I've got COVID, they say, we're charging you $100 a person for the reservation you're not showing up for. So that's all over Manhattan now.
D.C., by the way, down 59%. Boston down 48%. L.A. down 41%. Okay. Here are a couple of cities that are not as impacted. Houston, down around 13%. Seems like there's a lot of sane people in Houston. Las Vegas, I thought this was interesting, actually up 1%. And Miami.
Oh, yeah.
Miami, since 2019, is up a substantial 14%. So Miami restaurants, according to Open Table data, are way busier, thanks to AOC and all the Democratic politicians traveling down to have their vacations, way more busy than they otherwise would have been. And there's a big roster out there of seven-day averages out there. I just wanted to hit some of these cities that are actually sane. Fort Lauderdale numbers are up nearly 10%. Florida's a free state. Kansas City up 5%. Naples up 2%. Scottsdale is up. Vegas is up. Miami Beach is up. Tampa is basically flat. My home city of Nashville, basically flat as well. Sanity prevails. You got a lot of Texas places that are not that far behind. But the red states and the red cities, blue cities, sometimes inside of those red states, restaurants are still able to make money and run, some of them even more profitably. The more blue you are, the more disastrous the overall impact is here.
I'm starting to think, Clay, that, you know, the same way that you live in, when it comes to Second Amendment rights, there are clearly two Americas. There's two very different countries. You can live in a state like Florida or Texas or Tennessee or a lot of other red states. People are listening to this show. You know, we've got a lot of people listening in Nebraska, a lot of, you know, states where you want to buy a gun, you're not a felon, you got a driver's license, you know, you go through the process, you go buy a gun. It's not that hard, right? New York, buying a gun is effectively impossible, although I think the Supreme Court is going to strike that down, too, coming up here not far from now, so that'll be good news. When it comes to at least carrying, you have to be able to carry your gun. It can't just be only for the range, and there's no ranges, really, except for one in New York City. Anyway, but I think we're going to see this going forward with COVID restrictions, too. I think in blue states now, they can't turn this monster off permanently, ever. So what they're going to do is you're going to go into, you know, New York and California are going to be states where you have mask on, mask off, you know, restrictions come, restrictions go, school closure, virtual learning, offices shut down. Florida, Texas, Tennessee, and others are going to say, no, we just don't do that. And I think that's actually the if we're going to talk about a new normal, that's what we're heading toward now. And the only then big challenge is what do you do when the federal government, like the Biden regime, tries to trample on everybody?
Blue is becoming bluer as a result of COVID, and red is becoming redder. Here's the question that I have, Buck, that's a big one that is kind of hanging out there. Will there be a market-based reality in blue states? And what I mean by that is, if you look at the data on where people are moving, they're overwhelmingly leaving blue states and going to red states over the past couple of years, which, by the way, also sends the message that blue states aren't safer, right? If for some reason it were way safer to live in a blue state, we would see, I think, population migrations going in opposite directions. Instead, everybody is leaving New York, California, the Chicago area in Illinois, and they are coming to red states, Texas, Tennessee, Florida, places that have embraced freedom and allowed kids to go to school.
If it were really more dangerous, that's an excellent point. You would have news organizations in places like Los Angeles and New York City doing interviews with, oh my gosh, I was so scared
refugees
of the COVID in
yes.
Texas. You know, there'd be these kind of COVID refugees
caravans
from the red states. And that just does not exist, because even blue, even Democrat voters in red states are observing the reality around them and realizing, this is not actually an experiment in death, as the Atlantic once said about Georgia's reopening. Remember that? In human sacrifice.
Yes, human sacrifice. And I would also say this, Buck, the people who are moving are even more likely to have children. And the one thing that I think is true out there is people do whatever is the best for their children. So if kids were actually in danger from COVID, you would see families overwhelmingly relocating to blue states. You'd see this caravan of fear. It'd be like the Dust Bowl back in the day when everybody fled Oklahoma to go to California. Instead, everybody's fleeing California, New York, and again, the Chicago area. Those are the number one migration places, and they are ending up in red states. I think that's pretty significant. So many examples out there of people relying on Relief Factor, one of our sponsors here, to live their lives more fully. Great product, 100% drug-free, made with four key ingredients that address joint pain, whether it's in your knees, hip, back, neck, or shoulder pain. Created by doctors, perfected over 15 years of scientific research, Relief Factor was made for you if you experience that kind of pain. Heather in Louisiana, one who found the chance that there would be a 7 in 10 chance to eliminate her pain, worth trying out. She feels the difference on the days she's too busy to stop and take Relief Factor. She's a police officer. Her days are long between her shifts and taking time to exercise. She's got full days and relies on Relief Factor to be pain-free. Buck, how can you join the 7 in 10 who have had a positive experience and sign up and join them?
Folks, join the more than 500,000 people. Order the 3-week quick start for only $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to get the $19.95 3-week quick start developed for you. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. Relief Factor. Feel the difference.
So what I think we're going to be able to see is not eradication or elimination, but a level of control that's low enough that it really gets integrated into the regular type of viral infections that we tend to deal with. Parainfluenza, flu, respiratory syncytial virus. If we can get COVID down at that level where it doesn't really challenge us and threaten us from a public health standpoint, that would be an acceptable, quote, living with the virus. But not at the level we are right now, because we still have 150,000 hospitalizations, 2,000 deaths, and about 700,000 infections. That's too high a level to accept to be living with. We get it way, way, way lower than that, then I think it would be acceptable to go along and not be disrupted in society.
Welcome back to the Clay and Buck Show. I know, I'm sorry you had to hear that, but I think it's important you know what an idiot Dr. Fauci is. And we have to keep reiterating this every day. And notice that he's still going with this. We get the level. We control. We need to control. They can't control a gosh darn thing when it comes to this virus. This is a Charlie Foxtrot situation across the board. This is a total mess. But he's still acting like, I mean, Clay, you hear this? He's talking about it like, we're all these things we're doing, just keep doing. They say things like, we know how to control the virus. No, they don't. If they want to talk about trying to, in some way, limit your risk of hospitalization and death for specific individuals, that's still the conversation we can have about getting. But if they're talking about control of the spread, which is what he's discussing, they have absolutely no means of controlling the spread. That is what we have all seen for the last 90 days, and he still talks about this. Friends, this doesn't go away until Fauci goes away. It doesn't stop until the masks stop. This is the world we're living in now.
Look, Buck, I'm looking right now, and I just retweeted it for people who want to see this graphic for themselves. But Israel, we talked yesterday, and I would encourage everybody to go listen to the podcast. Third hour, if you didn't hear it yesterday, Alex Berenson, I'm going to talk about him a little bit in a couple of minutes because there was a good discussion on Tucker where he said a lot of the same things he did with us. But look at Israel, okay? Israel right now, over 90% of the adult population has gotten two vaccine doses. 80% have gotten three doses, that is the two shot plus the booster. And over 500,000 people there have gotten a fourth dose, that is four COVID shots. You need to see this graphic, Buck. Pull up, like, right now, Israel is averaging over 100,000 cases a day. And what is the Israel population? Aren't there like 6 million people who live in Israel? Something like
about,
that?
Yeah.
So we're talking about when they have 100,000 cases right now in Israel, we're talking about that being an unbelievable number relative to the United States. That would be like, I think I'm trying to do live math, which is always a challenge, but I think 5 or 6 million cases a day in the United States would be the equivalent of the 100,000 a day that we are seeing in Israel.
I'm seeing your tweet now. This is amazing. This is obviously about to go viral as it should. This is from Michael Sanger, who is an attorney and an author, but he's sharing the data out of Israel right now. And here's what it says. New COVID cases per capita break a new world record in Israel, where over 90% of the adult population has received two vaccine doses. 80% have received three vaccine doses. Over 500,000 out of only 6 million have received four vaccine doses. And they're setting an all-time high and a per capita global case record. Someone ask Fauci. I want to hear that evil tyrant Smurf try to explain this.
And keep in mind, Israel is a highly educated and a relatively healthy, right, country as a whole. They have less fat people than we do. They have less, I think, a higher average age of death. So we're not talking. And the fact that they're setting all-time highs there is in a really wealthy country with healthy people. Why would this not be the same thing that's going to happen in the United States, except our overall population is less healthy, more obese than theirs? I want to know what's going on there. Mike Lindell, he's the inventor of MyPillow, has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. And right now, he's got some My Slippers. And guys, these are phenomenal, these My Slippers. They're 50% off. Promo code Clay and Buck. My wife got these for all of her running partners. I told you guys about this. Wears them everywhere around the house. Kids have their own My Slippers. Everybody's got them here. I got my own pair. Buck's got one. You can also check out the overstock sale that's going on right now. Deep discounts on select pillows, towels, sheets, and more for a limited time only. How do you get hooked up right now? Go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener specials. You get 50% off the My Slippers. Remember, all MyPillow products, 60-day money-back guarantee. Enter the promo code Clay and Buck. You can also call 800-792-3269. Do it today. Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. We are rolling through what has been already a newsworthy Wednesday edition of the program. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. Justice Stephen Breyer stepping down. There will be a Supreme Court vacancy at some point in the summer that Joe Biden will be able to fill. And we will see exactly how all of that plays out, in particular because there are so many. We haven't talked a lot about this, Buck, but there are so many really monumental cases the Supreme Court is hearing right now. Obviously, the abortion cases in both Mississippi and Texas. You've got the affirmative action case based on Asian students challenging the University of North Carolina and Harvard, which the Supreme Court has taken. And I think there's a very good chance they may eliminate the use of race in admissions in colleges. If you remember, I believe it was Gratz versus Bollinger. I was in law school when that one was decided. They said in the Supreme Court did in that opinion. Was it
Grutter v. Bollinger?
Maybe. Was that somebody can look up, look it up. But that case.
Yeah,
said,
Grutter v. Bollinger.
Grutter v. Bollinger. That case said that affirmative action would be unlikely to be necessary in 25 years. And we're coming up on 20 years since then. And so I think there's probably a good chance they're going to overturn that. As you mentioned, Buck, there are a lot of Second Amendment cases as well that could be significant. I mean, this could be one of the most newsworthy. We already had the COVID vaccine, OSHA mandate struck down that has been abandoned now by the Biden administration. This could be one of the most consequential Supreme Court terms that we have seen in a very long time. Ending in the end of June, Breyer steps down at the end of that term. And then, boom, we roll right into a Supreme Court nomination fight, maybe, over everything that was going on there. And by Grutter v. Bollinger, 2003, I was in the middle of law school. So if they said 25 years, we're not too far off, 19 or 20 years now, between when they thought Supreme Court would strike everything down. Now, Buck, you and I had what I thought was an incredible interview with Alex Berenson yesterday. Alex Berenson, after our interview, then went on Tucker Carlson and basically said the exact same thing that he said on our radio show, which is, as we just discussed with all of you, the Israeli data is incredibly alarming for the vaccine argument at all. In other words, despite vaccination, despite double boosting for many people in Israel, cases are skyrocketing there and setting world highs. Now, they do a better job of testing than we might be doing here. So remember, if you test at home and you test positive, nobody ever really knows that you tested positive in terms of the overall government data. So we are wildly undercounting the number of people who have had positive Omicron cases. But CNN says, I want you to know, that that discussion that we had with Alex Berenson yesterday and that Tucker Carlson had on Fox News last night, it's killing people. And they are basically arguing that this is a conversation that should not be allowed to be taking place, that we shouldn't be able to share honest data with you. Here's CNN's Breonna Keller, Kyler, however you pronounce her name, saying we're killing people. Listen to this.
None of that coverage or coverage at Fox Entertainment, of course, is aimed at the real and most urgent issue, which is people not getting the protection of the vaccine. Also strange that anti-vaxxers are just fine with getting COVID treatments. Amazing miracles of science. Once they get COVID and they are staring down the odds, but they don't want the vaccine. Also a miracle of science. And again, the daily double question is, why is Rupert Murdoch, who was one of the first to get vaccinated, allowing this anti-science BS on the air? Because it is killing people. But you know, ratings and that is the ultimate moral crime.
So she's not a smart person, and no person who is intelligent listens to what this CNN anchor has to say. I mean, just start with that. And CNN is, has become a pathetic place in so many ways. But notice here a few things. The demonization of monoclonal antibodies, once again, it's only the vaccine is allowed to be acceptable. You notice they don't even really talk about the, what is it, the Pfizer pill that we're expecting is going to be in broader usage sometime soon. They don't want to talk about treatment. They only want to talk about the vaccine. And here we are. I mean, you're talking about the Israeli data. I would be so curious. I wish some of the journos would just have some courage and see the ones that have access to Fauci and see what's going on in Israel. I would love to hear his explanation. It would probably be, you know, oh, there's a new variant or some, you know, something that would just happen to fit right in there and not actually deal with the fact that, Clay, I just looked this up because I was curious. Israel right now is above, and this is in Haaretz, which is one of a well-known liberal paper, you know, leftist paper in Israel, that they're actually above their Delta peak right now for serious, not just for cases, for serious cases, for hospitalizations. How the heck is that going on under the circumstances of a country that's not only essentially entirely vaccinated, almost entirely boosted as well. Remember, the whole concept of herd immunity is you get to a certain level where, remember Fauci was explaining this, you know, in the community, the level, it won't bounce around as much. And it was like 60% or 70%. That's what
he
talked about.
50%. Once we got to 50%, we would no longer see any spikes in infection.
We wouldn't see spikes and surges. We're at 80% of Israel is boosted, not even just vaccinated, boosted. And they're seeing all-time high cases, and they're seeing serious spikes in hospitalization, which are very, which are those cases where people are obviously quite ill. So you're just wondering, you're sitting here, what is their explanation for this? The miracle of this incredibly effective vaccine that people in Israel have gotten four times now and are still getting really sick. I mean, if someone made me get the measles vaccine four times and I still got measles, I would have some big questions to ask.
Yes, of course you would. And the other thing we should add in is Israel has been almost a perfect predictor for what is going to happen in the United States, because they have better medical data, because they do a better job of tracking the influence. And so these are questions that if we had a truly unbiased journalistic system in America that truly spoke truth to power, then the number one question Dr. Fauci would be getting right now is, Israel overwhelmingly vaccinated, overwhelmingly boosted, and also now a significant number of people boosted on top of the booster. There are lots of people in Israel that have gotten four shots in a year. They just set a world high for COVID cases. Why in any way is that a success story? And why is the same thing not going to happen in America? That's the number one question that should be asked of him. There's not a single journalist asking that question.
I mean, if you see, I'm clipping it on Twitter, but you can find it online right now. The case number in Israel is it's skyrocketing. It's something that you have to look at. You say, that can't be right. I've checked on the data. That is the data. It is right. So if you see that graph where all of a sudden it just takes off like a rocket ship in a country that actually has good data, is keeping tabs on two doses, three doses, four doses, age. They do all in this country. We can't get anything close to the real-time data that they do in Israel. And you have to wonder why that is. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation broke ground on its Do Good Village in Land O'Lakes, Florida. This is a community they're building just north of Tampa. It's the first of its kind, a community of 110 homes for the foundation's program recipients. So together, families can heal. It's a special place where families know that their neighbors understand and care. A community where the children of our nation's fallen or severely injured heroes can grow and experience life together. The foundation's Do Good Village is going to help these families beyond measure. It's all thanks to an extraordinary donation of many acres of land and your generosity. Help America's greatest heroes and their families heal together. Make the Do Good Village the first of many communities like it. With every mortgage-free home, the foundation makes good on its promise to do good and never forget the sacrifices of our heroes that they've made for this country and for our communities. All you have to do now is donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org. Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show here, flying by today. Thanks for being with us. 800-282-2882. Remember to go to clayandbuck.com if you missed our interview with Alex Berenson yesterday. If you want to see, foxnews.com did a story on something I said yesterday. We posted it up at clayandbuck.com. And then Clay was on, I think, Hannity last night. So a lot of stuff that we're doing out there. You can go to the one-stop shop, clayandbuck.com. All right, we have some calls to get to. But first, though, I sent this one to Clay and the team last night. Canada, you know, the same way that I've said, we have to come up with a tagline. If Australia has turned into East Germany with koalas, then I feel like, you know, Canada has turned into, you know, the gulag with maple syrup or something. I mean, they've definitely gone nutso up there over COVID. And this is one of the more extreme things that has come out from this is from a Canadian news broadcast. I'm telling you, this is a real thing. They now want to have people who are unvaccinated followed by a store employee to make sure they only are allowed to buy in the store food and pharmaceuticals. No furry hat for you. None of that Mountie garb allowed or whatever they're going to buy. I don't know. I'm doing some Canada stuff here. This is what they say.
Today, big box stores that have a footprint of 1,500 square meters or more are going to have to ask people, customers, to show proof of vaccination. Now, pharmacies and grocery will be exempt from this. So if you're going into a Costco or a Walmart or something like that, where you might be going in to buy groceries or visit the pharmacy, in that case, an employee will have to be with that person as they walk through the store to make sure that they do not go and buy other products or other items that might be in the store.
So, Clay, I just want to be clear. If you're a Canadian who's unvaxxed, you can go into Walmart and you can buy a ham sandwich. They'll allow that because, you know, the virus is like, whoa, you're just buying a ham sandwich. But you reach for a pair of warm wool socks for those cold Canadian winters, they're going to have to throw you right out.
This is unbelievable to me. Okay, so I'm unvaccinated. This is in Quebec. That's a lot of people, right? If I was able to sneak across the border into Canada, because I don't even know if I can get in the country right now unvaccinated. But if I were there, I could go in, like I go into Costco. I don't shop a lot. It's probably not going to shock you, Buck. But I'm not a big shopper. All right. So I go to like Costco and I go to Amazon, and that's almost exclusively where I buy. I occasionally go to the grocery store. Okay. That means if I go into Costco, one of my favorite things to do at Costco is go buy the book section. You know, they have the tons of books and they're usually pretty cheap. Like I would have a minder with me in Quebec who would disallow me to look at the books while I was in Costco and would shunt me back to another aisle. Like I couldn't buy tennis balls. I couldn't buy a toy for my kids. I couldn't buy a book or a jacket.
You'd have someone with a "Hi, my name is Phil" button on, slapping your hand as you try to pick up a copy of White Fragility. Not allowed, sir.
Like, imagine this. You are pushing your cart. I don't know if they would let you use a cart or not, but let's presume you're going to be able to push a cart. And what, this minder would, like, tackle your cart and think about how crazy this is. The minder would disallow where you could push the cart inside of a Costco. Right? Because if you're familiar with Costco, God forbid, you're not getting any samples either, by the way. But if you're familiar with a Costco, they intermix lots of different products. So you're talking about going down an aisle and they might have cereal, but they might also have, batteries. Wait, not too far from the cereal, right? That batteries are impermissible.
This is a proposal for morons. You're already breathing. If you're expelling COVID, which we all are when we're infected, regardless of vaccination status or not. But if you're expelling COVID, it doesn't matter if you grab, you know, a sweatshirt to go with your Cracker Jacks or whatever. I mean, this is the dumbest, but this is what happens. They just keep doing stupid things and they pretend like they're not stupid and they act like we're anti-vax or we're bad people.
What I'm so fascinated about this too is, where do you draw the line in what is an acceptable product, right? So like oranges, you could clearly get. What if you want to get paper towels? What if you want to get like some sort of cleaning agent for your home? Is toilet paper, like what is the line between acceptable food product and maybe connected to food product in some way?
I think one thing we all have to remember through this, and you see it so much with the language about the unvaccinated, which, by the way, now, if you're unboosted, you're effectively treated as, you're not up to date, according to Rochelle Walensky, you're the unvaccinated. The apparatus of control and Fauciism has to have people to blame and has to have outlets for the anxiety of the sheep that listen to all this. So they have to set up these endlessly annoying, stupid, and useless rules so that the people that are breaking the stupid rules are the problem. They're actually turning us against each other with this all the time. This is the same thing you see on the airplanes. You know, I know there are the airline attendants that don't want to enforce the mask rules, but everyone's anxious because they got these masks on. They're all annoyed. We all should recognize how stupid this is. Even the CEO of the airline is like, look, we got a filtration system. You really don't need masks on the plane. And yet people are upset. So what do you do? Do you want them upset at the dumb rule? You don't want them upset at the dumb rule. You want them upset at people for breaking the stupid rule. And this is how they've turned society against itself and why the unvaccinated are public enemy number one in Fauci land.
This reminds me, Buck, in the first moments of the lockdown, my birthday is April 6th. So everything is locked down pretty much around April 6th. I don't remember the official first day that we shut down for 15 days to stop the spread, but it was around the time of my birthday happened. Somebody knocks on the door. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Who is it? I go open the door. This is when they were making a big deal about essential versus non-essential businesses and what was allowed. Remember, as much as we're making fun of Canada right now, Governor Whitmer had like crime scene tape up in stores where like you weren't able to go to certain parts of the store. You could only
put that lawnmower down, sir.
Yes. So I open the door and it's somebody standing there with cupcakes. Cupcake delivery. Gigi's Cupcakes, great cupcakes. And I said, wait a minute. They were like, hey, happy birthday. Somebody ordered you cupcakes. And I said, you guys are considered an essential business? And she said, yeah, cupcakes are an essential business. Cupcake store was allowed to stay open and deliver to the homes that were locked down cupcakes. That was an essential business.
Were they really
good,
though?
Many of you out there listening weren't considered an essential business.
Sometimes you need a cupcake. I don't know what to
tell you. By the way, Elizabeth. Also, ice cream didn't shut down. You could go stand in line. They were physically open. Every ice cream store in America was an essential business.
Oh, that's definitely the case. Elizabeth in Virginia,
Joe Biden
wanted to get you in
trouble.
You're warning us about something that's coming out. Tell us.
Well, I know since you guys are such huge fans of the good Dr. Fauci, I didn't want you to miss an opportunity to get a preview of the documentary. It's supposed to be released, I think, this fall. It's coming out from National Geographic and Disney, but there is a free online viewing of it tomorrow. It's a live stream starting at 6 o'clock Eastern, and you can watch it on demand starting at 8:15, right. And that's on demand till the 31st.
Oh, now I can start. Thank you, Elizabeth. Now I can start my write-in campaign, Clay. Signing of the petition to have the correct title for this, which would be Dr. Anthony Fauci, the biggest healthcare failure of all time.
How about the fact that Fauci had time to do a documentary during COVID? But he claimed that his schedule was too busy to come on our show for 10 minutes.
I mean, I could do it. Fauci's here right now. Clay, the Israel data, because of the mask and mitigation and blah-bitty-blah, it could be worse, it could be better. I don't, you know, there we go. We've had Fauci. It's the same thing every day. Same nonsense all the
Someone
time.
Someone who can get access to Fauci who listens to this show, just ask him about Israel. Somebody in the entire media industry, grill him, please. Just one.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.